American novelist Ernest Hemingway understood some of the difficulties in the relationships between fathers and sons. He wrote a short story called The Capital of the World, and it is focused around a father and his teenage son named Paco, set in Spain. Paco is a nickname for Francisco, and it was a common name in Spain at that time. So Paco had desires to become a bullfighter and escape his father's control. He runs away from their little town to the capital city, Madrid. His father, desperate to reconcile with Paco, follows him to the capital city and puts an ad in the local newspaper with a simple phrase, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you." Hemingway then writes, "The next day at noon in front of the newspaper office, there were 800 Pacos all seeking forgiveness." The world is in need of people who forgive and desire reconciliation. We all hunger for pardon and a right relationship. We are, in some sense, all Pacos, yearning to run and find a father who will declare to us, "All is forgiven. I love you." Our gospel today, the very well-known and popular parable of the prodigal son, is probably one of the most important teachings of Jesus about God his Father and God's relationship to humans. While our families, societies, and world dynamics revolve around the mentality of justice and that you get what you deserve, Jesus is definitely teaching that God does not act or work precisely that way. And I'm certainly not the first to say this, but I emphasize that the parable should be renamed the Prodigal Father, with importance given to the Father's extravagant and overly generous mercy and love that he pours out on not the wayward son, but both of his sons. The older son thinks that his father is wasting the celebration on his sinful younger brother. But the father is just as prodigal in his mercy and love towards the righteous son as he is to the wayward, sinful son. Both are in need of this extravagant paternal love. It is certainly part of the culture of that time that a son who took his father's inheritance before the father died was in essence declaring that his father was dead to him already. And we know from the story that the son wasted everything, hit rock bottom, and eventually wants to go home. And seeing his penitent son in the distance, the father runs out to embrace him and kiss him and desires to throw a party for him. And just as much in need of God's kind of love is the elder son who believes that he has earned his father's love by being a good boy. Jesus is addressing this story, we recall, to the scribes and the Pharisees who complain that Jesus is eating with sinners. I think they represent all of us churchy people who have the tendency to judge others as less than righteous and unworthy. The judgmental attitude of the older son towards his younger brother further distances him rather than welcomes him back, which is always the way that God works. His attitude has made him bitter and resentful. But the father once again shows his desire to welcome a wayward son back into his heart. He goes out to the older son and pleads with him to change his attitude. The son may have done everything correctly, but he doesn't understand the love of his father. He thinks only in terms of justice or of people getting their just deserts. Both sons treated their father as a judge, one who wanted his punishment for the wrong he realized he had done, and the other who wanted his prize for doing the right thing. But the prodigal father is not a judge. He is a loving father whose great big heart is always open, and he runs to embrace his sons and to offer an opportunity to celebrate reconciliation. Jesus teaches that God our Father is the way for each and every one of us. He's ready to forgive and ready to teach us that we don't earn anything. What God gives us is gift, freely given, love, whether we deserve it or not. Now, isn't that extravagant and wasteful?